ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 5th चैप्टर 10 टेक्स्ट 23। दिस चैप्टर अभिगोप्ता नृपति प्रजाना यह किं करो वै नपि नष्टि पिष्टा स्वधर्मम् आराधनम् अच्युतस्य यद् इह मानो विजहात् अघोघम्। क्वेश्चन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय श्रील प्रभुपाद। माय डियर सर, यू हैव सेड दैट द रिलेशनशिप बिटवीन द किंग एंड हिज सब्जेक्ट और बिटवीन द मास्टर एंड हिज सर्वेंट आर नॉट इटर्नल, बट ऑल्दो सच रिलेशनशिप्स आर टेम्पररी, when a person takes the position of a king, his duty is to rule the citizens and punish those who are disobedient to the laws. By punishing them, he teaches the citizens to obey the laws of the state. Again, you have said that punishing a person who is deaf and dumb is like chewing the chewed or grinding the pulp, that is to say, there is no benefit in it. However, if one is engaged in his occupational duty, as ordered by the Supreme Lord, his sinful activities are certainly diminished. Therefore, if one is engaged in his occupational duty by force, he benefits because he can vanquish all his sinful activities in that way. Purport. This argument offered by Maharaj Rahugun is certainly very effective. In his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami says, Tasmat kenapi upayana mana Krishna niveshayat. Somehow or other, one should engage in Krishna consciousness. Actually, every living being is an eternal servant of Krishna. But due to forgetfulness, a living entity engages himself as an eternal servant of Maya. As long as one is engaged in Maya's service, he cannot be happy. Our Krishna consciousness movement aims at engaging people in Lord Krishna's service. That will help them become freed from all material contamination and sinful activity. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Vitraga bhayo krodaha. By becoming detached from material activities, we will be freed from fear and anger. By austerity, one becomes purified and eligible to return back home, back to Godhead. The duty of the king is to rule his citizens in such a way that they can become Krishna conscious. This would be very beneficial for everyone. Unfortunately, the king or president engages people in sense gratification instead of the Lord's service. And such activities are certainly not beneficial for anyone. King Rahugun tried to engage Jadabharat in carrying the palanquin, which is a form of sense gratification for the king. However, if one is engaged as a palanquin carrier in the Lord's service, that is certainly beneficial. In this godless civilization, if a president engages people somehow or other in devotional service or the awakening of Krishna consciousness, he renders the very best service to the citizens. So King Jadabharat is presenting his arguments in regards to the proposition made by Jadabharat about how nobody is affected. And as Prabhupada explains, that unfortunately, even though King Rahugun was presenting his arguments, he is also quoting Shastra. In fact, anything can be justified if we have ulterior motivations. And the Vedic scriptures can offer us to prove our arguments, which is leading to sense gratification. To such an extent, even animal killing. One devotee was mentioning that there are many websites and some religious people, they quote Vedic literatures explaining, just see, so many places there is a facility for animal killing and you people are not following the Vedas. So therefore, one can justify anything for one's ultimate end. King Rahugun, whatever he's quoting, is absolutely right. He's talking about engaging in devotional service, punishing people. But in regards to King, Jada Bharat, it was not the case. In regards to Jada Bharat, he was engaging Jada Bharat so that he can enjoy. Just like anything can be justified to engage in sense gratification, including the Shastras, the same propensity which we have to justify everything for our sense gratification can also be justified in engaging in Krishna's service. Just like Rupa Goswami explains, the definition of bhakti means ahituki apratihata. Apratihata means there is no stoppage in devotional life. Just like we can engage in sense gratification by quoting Shastra, because anybody who has the obsession of engaging in sense gratification, nothing can stop him. Nothing can stop him. He can be engaged in sense gratification. Similarly, one understands the goal of life, one understands that this material world is offering nothing. Material world simply offers unlimited pain. In one purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions that the great sages, they tell us that one cannot understand this material world. One cannot understand the elements of this world. What to speak of understanding the activities of material world? And then what to speak of understanding the spiritual activities? It is not possible. Therefore, the advice is given that one should quit this material world. Get rid of this material world. And how do we do that? That can only be done by devotional service. So therefore, just like in the outside world, people can justify anything to engage in sense gratification, an expert devotee, an intelligent devotee sees all situations and enhances his devotional life. That is the character of an expert devotee of the Lord. Anything comes in his life, he takes it. Oh, this is the facility for me to be engaged in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The whole episode of His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj is the example that in this condition of life, where you are exuberant, powerful, you are doing the work of God, so naturally people expect that if you are working for God, then everything should be created favorable by God. But doesn't happen like that. Apparently, it did not happen like that. Apparently, in fact, everything went against him. He was one of the most dynamic preachers, traveling all over the world, inspiring people. But then Krishna stopped him. He broke his legs so that he cannot preach. He cannot move anywhere. Then slowly, his body started disintegrating. Now one can complain, then how can I preach now? For me, there is no more preaching. But because he was trained by Srila Prabhupada very nicely, he took that situation also to increase more preaching than ever before. He had never done such preaching in his entire lifetime, as much as he did this time. It was quite amazing to see, he was mentioning that so many devotees, in fact, nobody knew where these people were staying. Many devotees had given up association of Srila Prabhupada's International Society for Krishna Consciousness. In fact, they had no connection with any kind of devotional service whatsoever. But when they heard this news, he was telling to devotees of Radha Gopinath that so many people from different parts of the world, they came to meet him. He said, just because of this disease and I try to exhibit my Krishna consciousness, I was able to attract people from different parts of the world to come and discuss about Krishna consciousness, and they would say, we are inspired more than ever before in our lives to take up to the path of devotional service. So that is the beauty of Krishna consciousness. Once we know that the process of devotional service is so powerful that nothing can stop it. And one who has this conviction, even if Maya, of course it is not Maya, Krishna creates some kind of situation where a devotee of the Lord, in one sense it challenges. Okay, if you are putting me in this situation, I don't mind it, I will accept it. Just like in the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when Bali Maharaj, when he was willing to offer everything to the Lord, he offered 3 steps of land. And Lord Vamandev, he was Vaman, he became Trivikram, he captured everything from Bali Maharaj. And he was not satisfied. Here Krishna is showing that when somebody offers more, he has offered everything, Atma Nivedanam, but still the Lord was playing around with Bali Maharaj. He was ridiculing Bali Maharaj. He bound him by ropes. And he was insulted in the presence of so many people. By the same Supreme Personality of Godhead, who apparently says that I am satisfied with little. Leaf, water, fruit and vegetables. But here the Lord, even though Bali Maharaj offered everything, what the Lord is doing? He is actually binding him. He is putting Bali Maharaj in greater difficulties. So even though Krishna sometime, in fact, Srila Rupa Goswami explains, when the benefits are given in the Shastras, if you do little service, then you get so much more. That is the reality, no doubt about it. But at the same time, for a practicing devotee, when Krishna gives that facility, when they start practicing devotional service, to make him stronger devotee, to increase his Krishna consciousness, Krishna puts devotees in very difficult situation. Absolutely against his own nature. And if a devotee complains about that, then he loses the facility of becoming very dear to the Lord. But Bali Maharaj, when everything was taken away from him, he was sitting there silently. He said, where will I put my 3rd step? Bali Maharaj could have complained, you know, you told me 3 steps, but you have taken everything with your 2 steps. I have nothing to offer. And he was being ridiculed, he was being insulted in front of everybody. Then Bali Maharaj took that challenge. He accepted that challenge. He said, you cannot stop my devotional service. And he said, okay, you put your 3rd step on my head. So therefore, we see that one time one devotee, somebody went to offer him obeisances. No, he went to offer obeisances to someone. And this devotee, another devotee said, no, you cannot offer me. He stopped him. He said, how much can you stop? If you don't allow me with my physical hands, I can offer with my mind. I can still continue to offer with my mind. During the Radha Damodar Sankirtan party, one devotee was telling the story that Vishnujan Maharaj, he was so desperate in serving Krishna. He would not stop from any situation. He would not become disturbed by different situations. One time their bus was burning right in everybody's presence. All the books were being burned. So some other, he jumped into the bus. He brought the deities out. He took all the deities' outfits and he brought them into a park. And very coolly he was fanning them while the bus was being burned. He could not do anything. But he could not stop his devotional service. He was worried that the bus was being burned, but they could not do anything about it. So he did not stop devotional service. He continued to perform devotional service. Then he took those deities to one of these charitable organization. They distribute clothes everywhere in America. So he went to their office. I mean, the lady, when she saw that, the beautiful deities of Radha Damodar, she exclaimed, my God, she started screaming like that. And Vishnujan Maharaj said, yes, 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 they are your gods. Huh? So the point is, a devotee continues to perform devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Bhakti Tirth Maharaj, another point many devotees are making in Gita Nagari, that because he was born in a black body, naturally even amongst the bodies, it is considered that if you have a body which is not so suitable for devotional service, very bad background. So even that bad background, he took it as an advantageous position. Bhakti Vishram Madhava Maharaj was saying us in Nivrindavan that when he saw that, okay, this is my condition, I am born in a very low family. So he would say that because I am born in a low family, therefore I need to increase my devotional service with double efforts. He was saying, just see, the bad background was there apparently, but he did not say, okay, because I have a bad background, I cannot be so serious in devotional life. What can be done? This is my conditioning. This is the combination of Krishna's mood and devotee's mood. In the Shastras we read, again, Lord sometime he changes his mood here. We can see Krishna is satisfied with very little. But a devotee is not satisfied with his little devotional service. When we want to offer more, Krishna wants more from us. When we don't offer more, then he's satisfied with less. But the devotee is offering less to Krishna. In fact, when he's offering more to Krishna, he always feels that I'm offering less. He feels that I'm offering very less. This kind of competition between the devotee and the Lord goes on eternally. When Bali Maharaj, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead ultimately was pacified or stopped by Brahmaji, Brahmaji said, look, my dear Lord, you say that you are satisfied with little flowers, not even fully blown lotus flower, flower buds and newly grown grass. But this Bali Maharaj has offered everything to you, so you should be satisfied with that. And when Brahmaji told him like that, the Supreme Lord stopped. And then he offered immense benefit to Bali Maharaj. But what was Bali Maharaj's consciousness after the whole episode was over? He said, I didn't do anything to Krishna. When he came to the arena, I wanted to offer full obeisances to the Lord. But because I was surrounded by the demons, I did not do that. I simply offered my obeisances within my mind and just see the benefit. There is so much of benefit. During the whole episode in Gita Nagari, Radhanath Maharaj is mentioning that he had a discussion with Bhakti Tirth Maharaj. This was just 10 days back. He was talking to all the New York devotees. He said the principle of devotional service involves a great devotee of the Lord will ever say that he has any love for God. Kaviraj Goswami explains in Chaitanya Charitamrita. The nature of love of God is that one who has actual love, he will never say that I have love for God. He says, I have no love for God. And because he says that I don't have love for God, he tries to love Krishna more than before. And when he tries to love more than before, he experiences that there is no love. In this way, he becomes more and more humble and more trying to beg from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And one who has no love for God, who is doing apparent devotional life, he chants few rounds, comes for the temple for some years, and then what does he? He demands from Krishna, I am doing it and there is no results. He is demanding from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why? Because he doesn't understand the principle of devotional life. So therefore, the Bhakti Yoga principle, the principle of devotional service is so amazing and wonderful. That Bhakti Tirth Maharaj, he justified everything. For what? To engage in Krishna's service. As the materialistic people justify everything in not engaging in Krishna's service. This devotee in London, he was mentioning that there is one group. And he showed me all the quotations from different scriptures about eating meat, including cow's meat. There was one article. We think Shyamananda Prabhu gave a rebuttal to that article in the Times of India, written by a Brahman, and that too Ayyar Brahman. And he's saying how in the Shastras there is so much of quotes which talks about eating cow's meat. He was quoting different scriptures. And for an apparent student of the Shastra, one who's trying to purify his heart by reading Shastra, this kind of quotation can completely bewilder and disturb. Why these Shastras are recommending meat eating? But again, because this person's motivation, as Pradyumna Prabhu was mentioning here, that when we read Shastra, our gunic mind, our mind, which is influenced by the three modes of material nature, will read what he wants to read and what he wants to do and justify his nonsense. So therefore, in the Vedic time, it is not that Shastra is given to everybody. Okay, you read yourself and understand. It was not the case. Because the whole culture was known that only those who are qualified, those who have sincerity to practice devotional service, they would be taught Shastra by whom? By the previous Acharyas, by the great Mahajanas. Therefore, Yudhishthira Maharaj explains when that Yaksha asked this question to Yudhishthira Maharaj, that what is the path? And Yudhishthira Maharaj explained, Tarko Pratishto Shutayor Vibhinna Nasavrasayasya Matam Nabhinna Dharmasya Tatvam Nihitam Guhaya Mahajanayena Gatasya Panta. That is the whole essence of practicing Vedic literature. That if you read Vedic literature on your own, you have to be bewildered. If you follow different kinds of munis and sages, they will completely confuse you. Therefore, Yudhishthira Maharaj says, Dharmasya Tatvam Nihitam Guhaya. The whole principle of dharma are so difficult to understand. Only if you follow the path of the Mahajans, then you can understand. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was discussing with Sanatan Goswami at the bank of Ganga, Banaras, Lord Chaitanya was speaking to Sanatan Goswami on different principles of devotional service. At one point of time, Sanatan Goswami, clasping the lotus feet of the Lord, he explained to the Lord with great humility that many years back, you had given the explanation of Atmaram verse to Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya. And can you explain that verse to me? And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that Sanatan Goswami, when I spoke to Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya this explanation, I don't remember anything what I spoke. I was a madman and he was a madman. And because I was associating with a madman like Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, something was coming out of my mind. What I spoke, I don't remember. But in your association, Lord Chaitanya is telling Sanatan Goswami, in your association, something may come out. Something may come out. So therefore, I'm going to speak to you. And when Lord Chaitanya had spoken to Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, of course, Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya was not mad in devotional service then. He was mad in the process of Jnana Marg. And his explanations were completely mundane. The Atmarama verse which Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya gave to Lord Chaitanya, he tried to teach Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He gave 9 different kinds of explanation. Technically they were all correct. Grammatically they were all correct. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dismantled all those explanations. And then he started presenting his explanation. And the explanation of Mahaprabhu which were coming of the Atmarama verse, they were not only technically correct, they were much beyond that. In fact, the Atmarama verse, one word, the Nirgranti Api Urukrame, the word Nirgranti, what Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya had explained, had no depth in it. But when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started explaining, it was not the word, it was his heart. Because of his heart, he could give that kind of explanation. And that word presents the disposition of the Supreme Personality of God at Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu said, this word Nirgranti means that person up to the level of Brahma realize or self realize, highest self realized person, and from him up to the level of people like Mrigari hunters. Everybody can practice the path of devotional service. That was Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's explanation. That explanation was not only based upon the technicalities of the grammar. It was based upon the consciousness of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, the Shastras, again they prove that you can only understand the Shastra based upon not the words. Because one Sanskrit word can be quoted or given different kinds of explanation in hundreds and thousands of ways. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada would say, this Sanskrit dictionary doesn't make any sense. The Sanskrit dictionary doesn't make any sense because one word of Sanskrit can be played around in many, many ways. Shripad Madhvacharya, with one word of Mahabharata, he gives thousands of meaning. One Vishnu Sahasranam, he can give thousands of meaning. And then one word of Sanskrit can give one meaning, and exactly opposite, somebody else can give that explanation. Same 700 shlokas of Bhagavad Gita can be explained in completely different way. So how do you judge what is right and what is wrong? Based upon the words? No, word doesn't make any sense. Motivation. When the wrong motivation is there, then will be wrong understanding. But if there is the right motivation, then the Shastras give exactly opposite meaning. So therefore, what did Yudhishthira Maharaj say? Following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. So even though Rahugun was presenting his arguments, which were amazing and very powerful, based upon the Shastra, based upon his previous experiences, but still he was making a mistake. And Prabhupada explains, what was his mistake? His mistake was, he was engaging in sense gratification. On the other hand, great Jada Bharat, he was inspired by Rahugun. Sometime a speaker, the great speaker, like great devotees, they are inspired by different kinds of people. Most of the time they are inspired if they find another great devotee of the Lord. And they speak. The whole Srimad Bhagavatam, one Madhvacharya Acharya explains, after hearing the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna heard Bhagavad Gita from Krishna. The battle was over. The Pandavas became the monarch of the entire world. And one point of time, Arjuna requested the Lord, can you speak Bhagavad Gita again? It doesn't come like that. Krishna did not come prepared. Okay, I'm going to speak the 700 verses to Arjuna. Arjuna's difficult situation caused the compassion in the heart of the Lord, and therefore the streams of nectar flowed from his heart. So similarly, here we see that when Rahuguna exhibited his great passion for sense gratification, then Jada Bharat, his heart opened up. First time in his life, he was speaking something about self-realization. And because Jada Bharat acted like that, suddenly Rahuguna acted like that, Jada Bharat started speaking. And when Jada Bharat started speaking, when Rahuguna heard that, he was shocked to hear the great self-realization in the personification of Jada Bharat. Therefore, he dropped out of his palanquin and offered prostrated obeisances to Jada Bharat. And he explained that, I don't fear the Trishul of Lord Shiva. I don't fear the thunderbolt of Lord Indra. I don't fear the personification of Yamaraj. I don't fear sun. I don't fear moon. But I certainly fear making a Brahmana angry. So therefore, please forgive me. And we see that, again, we can go back and see Bhakti Tirth Maharaj, you know, Radhanath Maharaj is explaining that all of his so-called aggressiveness, of course he was never aggressive to devotees, he was aggressive in his preaching styles, the way he would dress, the way he would walk, the way he would carry his danda, the way he would jump in the kirtan, it was all style. But when the time came for him to live this material world, Maharaj is mentioning he became like a small child. He was crying, he was weeping. And similarly, if you read Srila Prabhupada's Lilamrit, they were leading in Radha Gokulanand temple, that therein Prabhupada, at the time of his departure, he became soft like child. All of that great warrior spirit, preaching, sometime trying to arouse passion in the heart of his God brothers to preach. He would be so angry with his God brothers. Not that he was trying to find faults with them. Rather, he was trying to shake them. In the battlefield, sometime you see, even Krishna would do with his Pandavas. When Bhima was trying to show some kind of, you know, mundane compassion to the Kauravas, he became quite dull in his spirit to fight. What did the Lord do? Krishna started teasing Bhima. He said, even you have become scared? What is this, Bhima? So Bhima immediately became very angry. He said, no, I'm not scared of them. Similarly, Prabhupada, whatever he spoke to his God brothers, it was not necessarily, you know, he felt that he's superior and they're not doing anything, but rather to arouse that spirit of preaching. And then at the time of his departure, even at the time of departure, if you read the Lilamrita and if you read Prabhupada's conversation, what does he say? He is exhibiting great love for his God brothers. And he said, in the mission of my Guru Maharaj, at some point of time, maybe I have spoken harshly, maybe I have offended devotees, but if I have offended, it was all meant for the preaching activities, but please forgive me. He was begging from every devotee, whoever would come to his place, he would beg from them. He became so soft, he would cry. And Prabhupada explains in the fourth canto that anybody who is a sane person, if he does not beg forgiveness at the time of his death from fellow devotees, then he has no hope to attain the spiritual platform. And Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj did that with all devotees, with the children, with women, with old people, with his God brothers. He exhibited that love and affection. And Krishna, again, to die in the association of devotees, it is not that we can arrange like that. It is not mechanical so that we can die in the association of devotees. It doesn't happen. Only if Krishna arranges, only the parampara arranges, then the whole facilities can be created. And he did that. At the time of his departure, he was surrounded by devotees chanting the holy name of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And he departed back to the spiritual world. He justified everything. Just like a materialistic person justifies to engage in sense gratification, he justified everything to engage in Krishna's service. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Radha Gopinath Prabhu? Shyamanand Prabhu? Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.